Sleep.
The season of promise is upon us.
Rippin, blitzed, screen. Wilson catches at the 15, hurdles two guys and scores.
Boise State football is here.
To the 50, to the 40, to the 30. Cuts back in the middle to the 20. He's still going, going.
Saturday, September 2nd, Troy comes to battle on the blue. Bob Beeler and Pete Cavender call the action. Boise State football on 670 KBOI.
The Zamzos Garden Show is sponsored by Zamzos. The views, opinions, and advice offered by the show's hosts do not necessarily reflect those of KBOI or its parent company, Cumulus Media. KBOI makes no representations as to the accuracy of the information expressed and shall not be responsible or liable for any claims arising out of the use of or reliance upon any such information.
What kind of seeds are you sowing? Why is it so green where you're from? It must be Zamzos growing in your yard, garden, or barn. You've done it right, you see it. Got the help that you needed. Zamzos really makes you want to come home.
I'm coming home,
'cause nobody knows like Zamzos.
News Talk 670 KBOI. It's the Nobody Knows Like Zamzos Garden Show on News Talk 670 KBOI. To be a part of the show, call now 1-800-529-KBOI or 336-3700. It's the Nobody Knows Like Zamzos Garden Show on the Big 670 KBOI.
How's it going, everybody? This is the Zamzos Garden Show, and I am your host, Nolan Guthrie. And today we're doing a pre-recorded episode, so we're not taking any phone calls today, but we got some great stuff in the works for you. Today with me is Chris Owings, the manager of our Overland store. Chris, thanks a lot for coming in. Did I say Overland?
You did say Overland.
I did say Overland. I don't even know why I would say that. Chris is the manager of our Chindon store, not Overland. Nothing's not happened. Overland. No, yeah. It's all the same. You got it right. You know where you are.
Yep. Hopefully, most days.
All right. So Chris is the manager of our Chindon store, and we've been working together for a number of years. Actually, we used to run the Chindon store together, which was a blast. We had a great time doing that. And Chris and I have a mutual respect and, I don't know, I would call it love for trees. You know, it's something that we both studied a lot of in college and really – I don't know. We just I don't know. Is that the right way to say it?
Absolutely. I would say more than once I've been called a tree hugger.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too, actually. And not just because I'm from Portland. So okay, so we're talking about trees today. We're gonna talk about tree care from beginning to end. Just everything that we're gonna need to know about keeping our trees healthy and getting them past that critical early stages. So let's talk about early on, you know, you've got a spot and you've decided you want to put a tree in there. What are some of the things that people should really look at when deciding what tree they're going to pick and then where they want to put it?
I would definitely say the first thing I would look at is how much space do you have?
Yeah.
Because trees can get anywhere from 8 feet wide to 50 feet wide.
Yeah.
And same in height. Yep, so how much space?
Space is a big consideration. I mean, the last thing you want to do is grab a sunburst locust that's going to have a 25-foot spread and throw it into your 15-foot, you know, backyard.
Right.
So definitely know how much area you have. You also want to know your exposure. I mean, how much sunlight are you getting? Because it's weird to think that some trees actually need a little bit more shade than others. If you're going to go with something like a dogwood, you don't want to put that into a full sun area. But you do need it to be kind of secluded in an area that it's going to do well through the harsh winters, but doesn't get too much sun. And so those kind of areas can be a little bit difficult to find. But knowing your exposure, especially early on, if you got a smaller tree, you're starting with a smaller tree. If it's getting too much shade, that might not be the right spot for it. You might have to go a little bigger or pick something else. So
exactly.
So exposure is another big one. When somebody comes to Chindon's known for our greenhouse and having tons of plants. What are the things that people should look at or kind of have in mind? You know, we've got our size. We know how much area we want. When they're picking out that tree, what are some of the key features that they should be looking at to really have, you know, pick out a good specimen to you know, get a tree that's healthy and has the branching and everything that it wants, that we want? What are some of those key factors?
I'd say some of the key, first thing I look for is a good, strong central leader. So it's got some taking it straight up. You don't want a crooked trunk or missing the central leader. And then good directional growth. So you got a branch kind of going in every direction to give you that symmetry.
So one thing I see happen a lot of times is somebody buys that new tree and they get it into the lawn, and then that first year they get like sun scald or sunburn on it. So are there any things that we can do to kind of prevent that, or at least know kind of how we want to position that tree?
Yeah. In fact, some of our growers, this is why I love Schmidt so much, but they'll actually tag the trunk of that tree with a little white piece of paint.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think that's just the marking that it's been sold to us as Zamzos, but that's actually marking north, I believe.
Really?
That paint
strip didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
fascinating. So, I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. So in the ground, in the nursery, when they were growing it, that paint mark is always pointing north.
That's incredible thing to know, because you want that mark to face the same direction.
Exactly.
And then what that's going to do is make sure that the stiffer, the thicker side of the bark of that tree is actually pointing in the right direction, so the exposure isn't going to cause that. So not all growers do that. So it's good to know that Schmidt does it. I love Schmidt too.
Does it right.
They're a great grower. They make really quality trees, and that's even better to know that they do something like that. So keep it. You know, there may be other people that do that. So just look for that. I think if you're looking for a tree, you're thinking about it. Look to see if they've got some sort of marking on the bark, and just keep that in mind. So that's a great question to ask if you're in there, if they know where that's at. So good to know. So okay, we've picked out our tree. We've got all these things. We found the perfect one. What do we want to do to get that hole prepared for this new tree?
Right. I'm sure everybody here has dug a hole in the valley. We have everything but topsoil, right? It's all clay, rock, gravel, pit run. It's just terrible soil. So you do want to amend the soil some, but not so much that your tree won't want to leave that hole you've created for it, because I've seen people do that too. But I generally dig the hole out, then I have my backfill, and then I mix some compost in with that. Just to
So how big do you recommend the hole be? This is a question that I think has a lot of opinion, and I want to preface this comment that there are different opinions on that. I think there are some that are definitely wrong, but I think there's a few that are probably right. So there can be some variance in this, but what do you recommend?
I recommend just as deep as they're sitting in that pot.
Yeah.
Because you plant it too deep, it suffocates it, and it will kill the tree. But then I like to dig it at least half again as wide, if not twice as wide.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's typically what I've recommended too. I know some people, early on, I actually recommended going actually a little bit deeper than that, but through my own experience and just, talking to people, I found that right at soil level, as deep as it is right now, is as deep as you need to go.
Yep. Yep, they seem to do just fine.
And then the other thing, you always recommend compost. We've always had this kind of bitter rivalry between compost and planting soil. I always recommend planting soil. You recommend compost, and I think neither one of those is wrong. I mean, we used to have competitions at the store to see who could sell more of the other, and I don't think that ever one of us ever was a clear winner. But the planting soil, I think, works just as well as compost. I like the planting soil because it has compost plus other organic materials in it, and you just like the compost. I don't know why.
I love compost.
Yeah, it's just a matter of opinion. Either one's fine. I think they're both adding essential things into the soil to make it right. Compost might have a little bit more, maybe of the micronutrients, but I feel like the diversity of the planting soil, getting a few different types of organic material in there, is just what I prefer. So there's definitely different strokes for everybody. So now, real quick. Watering is something that everybody asks, and we're going to get into it a little bit more, but that first thing, they get the plant in there, they've amended that backfill and they've filled it back up. What do you want to do, to make sure that tree has the right amount of watering after that?
Right. Which I love those good old meters. You know, they probe down about 12 inches and they tell you that moisture level at that point. But that right when you plant it, I always give it a good deep soak. So a slow trickle on a hose for probably longer than you think, even 20 minutes on it, and give it a good deep soak.
I like to fill it up and like just let it run till it's running out, you know, that it's just as deep as you can go. So, all right, we've got a great start to this discussion, so we're going to hit a quick break. This is the Zamzos Garden Show on KBOI.
The Zamzos Garden Show will be back right here on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Hi, this is Jim Zamzo. And if your tomatoes and peppers are not where you want them to be and are not producing fruit, you need Zamzo's compost tea. You see, the winter of 2017, combined with a late spring and flooding, delayed a lot of plants at least a couple of weeks. That's why we developed Zamzo's compost tea. It uses three of our best products, Zamzo's Thrive, Tomato Boom, and Foundation, and makes them available to your plants immediately. We put everything you need in a kit that includes a bucket and strainer, our three ingredients, and complete written instructions. All you do is add water, place in the sun, and stir. And in 3 days, your Zamzos compost tea is ready to give your plants the boost they need for bigger and better yields much quicker. What's even better is that for a limited time, our compost tea kit is on sale for $10 off the regular price. So come see us now, because since 1933, when it comes to helping you grow better,
nobody knows like Zamzos.
Nate Gelman here for Core Group Realty. You hear us talk about Core Group Realty all the time. You hear us talking about their marketing strategy, and you hear us rattle off success stories. Now, Todd works with us here at the station. And Todd, you and your wife sold your home through Tom Dahlman and Core Group Realty. Tell me, how was it?
Tom and his group made me see that my house had some value. We picked a price that I think was correct, so much so that it sold for more than we asked for.
So the day that it went on the market, you started getting offers?
The first day that it went live, I had six people waiting to see my house. It sold within the first day.
Tom Dahlman and Core Group Realty worked for Todd and his wife out in Middleton. They can work for you. They generate the interest. They reach out to their network, and they get the job done. They even back it up with a guarantee. If they can't sell your home in 59 days or less, they won't charge you for it. Look them up online. GetMoreWithCore.com. That's GetMoreWithCore.com, or give them a call. 477-1555. That's 477-1555. You always get more with Core.
Idaho's number one Nissan dealer, Dennis Dillon Nissan, brings you the Bottom Line Sales Event. 2017 Nissan Rogue all-wheel drive models are priced under 20 grand, or 189 a month with no payments for 90 days, or Altimas 199 a month, Sentras 129 a month, plus available 0% financing up to 72 months on select models. Dennis Dillon Nissan, 8727 Fairview Avenue, Boise. 36 month leases at 12K per year with up to $24.99 down. All offers plus tax, title, dealer, doc fee, $299 OAC.
The Sawtooth Mountains, Shoshone Falls, the Snake River Canyon. These enduring icons withstand time, and so has One Idaho Bank. Established in 1904, for five generations, D.L. Evans Bank has served the needs of Idaho families, working for you, growing your future, and changing to meet a fast-paced world. D.L. Evans Bank, Idaho's hometown community bank. Then, now, and tomorrow.
Tire pressure is good and water pressure is good, but pressure is not good when picking out a new mattress. Hi, it's Mike from Leisure Mattress on Federal Way, your local mattress factory. A new mattress is one of the hardest items there is to shop for, but it has to be the right mattress, so you need guidance but not be pushed into what someone else wants you to buy. Here at Leisure, we believe in listening to you because you are the expert on your needs, whether you know it or not. So the biggest pressure we'll ever put on you is, what color do you want your new mattress? Come into our showroom, find us on Facebook or at leisuremattress.com.
Parents, it's back to school time. Keep them focused on the future with new glasses. For a limited time, get two pairs of glasses for just $79. Save on school supplies for eyes. Visit imartexpress.com. Imart Express, right glasses, right price, right now.
Weekday mornings have never been more fun.
Only 1,000 years left.
Exactly.
I better go buy some shirts.
Paul, Jay, and Chris, starting at 5 on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back here on the Zamzos Garden Show. I am your host, Nolan Guthrie, and with me today is Chris Owings, the manager of our Chinden Greenhouse and store. And we're doing a pre-recorded episode today, so we're not taking any phone calls, but we're talking about all sorts of tree care. We're talking about beginning to end, everything that you should know or want to know about getting your trees planted and getting them through the first few years and then beyond. So last segment we talked about, you know, proper planting and what to do. You know, let's say we're at that point now where we're putting that tree in the hole, and we've added, you know, we've got our compost and our backfill. What are some other things that we really want to recommend to get that tree started off right?
You know, Jim came up with something amazing last year, I think, and it's called a bolus. And it looks like a big old horse pill.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. The capsule is actually a horse pill that we've repurposed.
Nice.
From what I understand. And maybe that's... So I think we call them... Do we call it bolus? That's a weird word, but...
It is weird. And I think that's strange. What they call a horse pill, actually, is a bolus.
A bolus, yeah.
So I think that is how it got its name.
Yeah. But I think we call it caps. Planting caps is another one what we've called it. So either one of those will probably get you to the right product.
Yes. But the main thing that does is has, I believe it's either 7 or 11 different strains of mycorrhizae in it.
Yeah.
Which mycorrhizae is a fungus. It binds to the root, and it helps that plant draw in water and nutrients out of the soil. And then in return, the plant gives the fungus sugars that it gets from photosynthesis.
Right, so it's a
great
beneficial, symbiotic relationship between this fungus and the trees. And actually, all plants have some form of mycorrhizae. There's lots of different species, but they are very essential for anything to really live. I mean, they have to have these. And so what happens is, like, when we're in a soil that's hasn't had a tree, especially the tree you're planting, if it's never had that tree, it's not going to have that mycorrhizae. And there may be some of it, you know, living on that root of the tree as it's growing. But that disruption of planting and taking it out and getting moved around tends to kill some of it off. So we want to try to re-inoculate that soil with a number of mycorrhizae to help that recovery process go a lot faster. So, and that actually goes in... At planting. You're
going to
put that in the hole
at planting. Yeah, it needs to be in the soil or the mycorrhizae will die.
So I picked up a couple of those hornbeams last year that you sold me at the Chitten store and used it on those trees. And they came out looking just fantastic this year. They look great.
Nice.
Good green growth on them. They look really nice. And here's the thing that I think is interesting. It's not excessive growth. You know, a lot of times if you use certain fertilizers, you're going to get lots of growth. And it's going to shoot up really fast. But these ones didn't. They didn't do that. They leafed out good, very healthy, good amount of growth on them, and they just look fantastic.
That's good. I've seen people push the nitrogen to their trees, and they grow so quick the bark actually cracks.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
So,
I want to watch that.
Proper feeding is very critical, especially in the first few years. I mean, you got to make sure you don't overdo it because it can stress those trees out. Okay, so we put the planting cap stuff in the hole, and we've backfilled it, and we're starting to water. The thing I'd never plant a tree without, or really any plant, without putting Thrive on it.
Absolutely.
I mean, Thrive, you know, again, I'm keeping my streak, even though this is a pre-recorded show. I don't think I've done a radio show yet without talking about Thrive, and it's not just like... We don't just push this product. Like, we truly believe in what Thrive does and how much better it makes our plants.
Yeah, and the soil.
And the soil, right, exactly. And, you know, and those things are connected. It makes the soil better, so it makes the plants better. So you got it backfilled, you're watering. Do you like to do the Thrive at that time, or do you like to give it that good soak and then Thrive later?
Yeah, I give it that first initial soak, because it seems like the Thrive does work better in kind of damp or moist soil.
I think that helps it get down into the soil better, so you get more penetration, so you get that Thrive in the roots, near the root system a lot better. So you're going to give it a good long soak, let it water for a long time, and then once it's kind of percolated in, come back over with a mixture of Thrive, and just the regular rate is fine.
Yeah.
And just water that in one last time with Thrive, and you're in good shape.
Yep.
Okay. So kind of keeping along with the watering idea, this is a question I get all the time on, like, our Facebook group and just on our social. You know, people want to know, how much do I water my trees? Because it's tough to know, especially when people have, like, a drip system or they have different watering mechanisms in their landscape. So what do you have, kind of a rule of thumb that you use for keeping those trees watered in that first season?
Yeah, that first season, and I always tell our customers, too, that we live in a desert. These plants are happy in desert conditions.
Yeah.
And if you're watering it every day, you're going to start to rot those roots off.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't want that much water. So deep and infrequent. So that very first year, probably three times a week,
yeah,
a good deep soak. But let it dry out a little bit in between.
Yeah, I think that's the best thing is to just, you know, what I've always done is I'll just take the hose out there and I'll just put it on a slow trickle and I'll just set it under that tree and then I'll forget about it.
Yep.
And usually it's my wife comes in and says, hey, you're still watering that tree, and it's like the next morning.
Yeah.
So you don't want to go that long. If you can go for, I mean, I think you said 20 minutes, I think, you know, it may change based on how big the tree is, I think, but something around there. You want to deep, deep soak it. Make sure everything gets saturated, and then you don't have to do it again for a few days.
Right.
And then, and I think that's really the best thing. You mentioned root rot, and I think that's really, I've found over the years that I've had more people lose trees to root rot, to overwatering, than they have underwatering.
Oh, yeah. I say I'm 90% of the, probably 95% of the customers that come in and bought a tree from me and it died. Once I look at it, the roots are all rotted. They're just black. You can smell it. It stinks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some very pungent indicators that something's wrong in that soil. So I think the best thing to do whenever you're in that first season especially is don't assume that it needs more water. Because what's interesting is that the tree will actually look like it may start to wilt even though there's too much water there.
Right.
And we associate wilting with not enough water. Well, it's actually not getting enough water. But it's because there's too much.
Right.
So it's
rotted the roots off.
Right.
So it can't get the water to the leaf, but it's essentially drowning.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So I think it's best to err on the side of less water, really with any plant that you're putting out there, especially a new plant. Because
I completely agree.
They're so new. They're so trying to get used to these new conditions. They're not taking a lot of moisture in. So you want to go slow, give it a small amount of water, or, you know, a good amount of water, let it dry out. And you mentioned, what, 3 times a week?
Yeah, 3 times a week that first year.
Yeah, I found that to be pretty accurate as well. Like in what I've done, you know, the few times I've planted trees over the last few years, about 3 times. I have increased it to 4 and even a 5th time in the middle of summer when it's getting super hot. And that way, just because I know what I'm putting out there, but when it's super hot, you're going to get more transpiration. You've got more water going up because the tree's trying to cool itself down. That's its cooling mechanism as well as moving everything around. And so it's got to have that water. And even in a new tree, once you're kind of at that point, if you're starting to say around Memorial Day or some other time, the tree's in a pretty good place by the time we get to July, August, when it's the hottest.
Yeah.
So how do you decide, you know, it's always tough to know, especially if you're new to a place or, you know, you're not sure about the soil. Do you do anything to check that soil before you do any kind of watering? You mentioned the probes.
Yeah, the probe.
Which are helpful.
Those are helpful. Other than that, I mean, I just judge my soil as I'm digging it.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll take, you know, even my shovel out, and I go out a little ways from the trunk, not too close, but I come out, you know, a little ways, and I just dig down about a shovel's depth just to kind of get an idea of what that soil is like underneath it.
Yeah.
Because one thing about our clay soils is that they'll tend to dry out on the top faster than they will down below. So if you're using that top layer of soil to decide whether or not you need more water, it's kind of deceiving. I mean, it's very,
very deceiving.
So, yeah, getting down into the soil, even a hand trowel, really shows you what's happening just a few inches below the soil surface.
4 to 6 inches, that's...
So one tip I want to throw out there, I found this helpful when you're using the soil probes. If you've got a harder soil, take a trowel or something and kind of rough that soil up so it's a little looser so you can get that probe in there all the way and you don't break the stem off.
Yes.
Because that happens a lot.
It does happen a lot. Hit a rock or
piece of clay. Loosen that soil up just a little bit to kind of get that probe in there so you can see it real well and get a good idea. So, okay, I think we're about time for a break. So we're going to hit that and come back on the other side. This is the Zamzos Garden Show on KBOY.
The Zamzos Garden Show will be back right here on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Hi, this is Jim Zamzel, and the hot, smoky summer of 2017 has taken its toll on many lawns and gardens and produced a bumper crop of flies and mosquitoes, not to mention ants, earwigs, and spiders that are coming inside to get cool. If you have flying or crawling insects that are bothering you, Zamzos can help with a variety of traps, safe chemical, and natural solutions. If your lawn's turning brown in places, it could be fungus, chinch bugs, or grubs. Bring us a 12-inch turf sample so we can provide you with the correct cure. We can then help your lawn recover with Zamzos Thrive, compost tea, and if reseeding is needed, show you how to prepare your lawn by pre-spraying for weeds, selecting the proper seed, and then covering it with Zamzos Premium Compost or Planter Mix. 2017's been a rough year, but we've been helping folks solve problems for 84 years. So come see us, because since 1933, when it comes to keeping Idaho green,
nobody knows like Zamzos. Set me free.
Winston Churchill was almost always positive. His most famous quote is from his graduation speech where he said, "Never, ever, 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 ever give up. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up." And then he sat down. Well, true to his own advice, Churchill planned his own funeral. He directed at the end of his funeral at St. Paul's Cathedral a bugle play Taps. And then immediately after that, a bugle play Reveille. A call to get up. Rise to action from sleep. Churchill understood the power of the message of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. And today, knowing what he now knows about God, he would tell you, start walking with Jesus and never, ever, ever, ever turn back. I'm Kevin Skidmore. This is a Cross-Eyed Minute Uplift brought to you by the Boise Church of Christ. You can find more about us at boisechurch.org. Boise Church of Christ, where church is family.
There's a special kind of love.
Say, when you work as hard as you do, you deserve to sleep harder every night. To help make that happen, Mattress Firm is giving you a sneak peek at an incredible Labor Day savings. Get Hampton and Rhodes mattresses starting at $99.99 or Serta memory foam queen mattresses for $399.99. Binge watching your favorite shows just got a lot easier. Take home a free adjustable base with select purchases.
Get select Beautyrest queen mattresses at just $299.99. That's over 50% off regular price. Get the all-new and exclusive Dream Bed Lux at an unbeatable value of $39 a month for 6 years, plus get a free adjustable base. With over 15 queen mattresses under $699.99, there's something for everyone. Visit your local Mattress Firm and get special back-to-school offers when you show your school ID. Why wait any longer? Come in today to Mattress Firm in Boise, Meridian, and Nampa. Tell them Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton from KBOI sent you. Mattress Firm, save money, sleep happy.
With a new Land Rover as your companion, you'll see adventure wherever you go. Own the wilderness and the urban jungle alike. Visit Land Rover Boise for special offers on the award-winning Range Rover Evoque, the versatile Range Rover Sport, and the spacious Discovery Sport. Lease the Discovery Sport SE for $339 per month for 36 months with $34.95 plus taxes, title, and fees due at signing. Visit Land Rover Boise, landroverboise.com, or call 1-800-621-1775 for details. Land Rover, above and beyond.
I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Boll & Branch, where you can get the world's most comfortable sheets for less than half of what you'd pay in the store. Our sheets are made from 100% organic cotton and get softer over time. Even three U.S. presidents have Boll & Branch sheets. Try them for 30 nights. If you don't love them, send them back for a full refund. Go to BollAndBranch.com today for $50 off your first set of sheets, plus free shipping with promo code SLEEP, spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com. That's BollAndBranch.com, promo code SLEEP.
Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Zamzos Garden Show, and I'm your host, Nolan Guthrie. This week we're doing a pre-recorded episode, so we don't have any phone calls this day. Sorry about that. We are out of town, but I'll probably be back next week for a live show. Today with me in studio is Chris Owings. Chris is the manager of our Chinden greenhouse and been a good friend of mine for a number of years. And thanks for coming in and talking to me about trees.
Yeah, you bet.
We both have a great time talking about. So I recall us looking over multitudes of lists at trees and dreaming about what we can bring in and how much we like this tree or that tree or, you know, how well will we think this one would do in this area. And so trees are something we're both very passionate about. We spend a lot of time studying it, and it's something that we really like talking about. So
you bet.
I appreciate you coming in.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks.
So we've covered in the previous segments planting a tree, picking out the right tree, the first waterings and fertilizings. Another really frequent question is pruning. Pruning is one of those activities that I think intimidates a lot of people. And so we want to try to clear the air about it. It's really not as bad as it kind of gets made out to be. The one thing I always say about trees is they've been here for a really long time. And they know how to take care of themselves. And it's usually better for us to kind of be more hands-off than we'd like to be. You know, we always want to do more for them. So pruning is one thing that tends to kind of scare people off when it comes to trees. They're not sure where to do it or when to do it or how to do it. So let's just talk about those things and try to raise everybody's confidence level. When I was in college, I was able to work on the grounds there. And part of that, the thing that was really nice about that was I would go to class and I would get to learn about these things, and then I would have immediate application. I'd get to go do those things I was learning about. And that's really, nice. I feel what pruning is really just a matter of doing it, going yep. out and trying. The biggest thing, though, is I think people start too much. They get too far ahead of themselves. And I think the real key to it is always start small.
Yes.
Start with a small amount of pruning and get to know your tree and even your shrubs and your other things. Get to know them, and kind of you should know generally what shape it should be. You know, there's a lot of things that we study, like if a tree is pyramidal or columnar, and those are kind of technical terms, I guess. But really, it just describes the overall shape of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to kind of know what the general shape of the tree wants to be and how you can promote that. So always start small, do small amounts of pruning at a time, and know your tree. So, Chris, when is the best time to start pruning a tree?
I think the best time is February, March, right before it's going to come out of dormancy.
Yeah. See, yeah. and it's always interesting to me, you know, when I was in Portland growing up, we always pruned more in the fall. It was just, I think it's a more of a cultural thing. You know, we don't have heavy frost and heavy snows like sure. we tend to have around here. So people would do a lot more pruning in the fall, I think, as the tree was about into dormancy. People would do it. So it's, I did a lot of it in the college. We did a ton of, but we did a lot in the spring too, mostly because it was a huge campus and we couldn't get it all done. But I think around here what I found is that, February, March time, before they're starting to push buds, is really the best time to start pruning, really with just about anything. I mean, I can't think of an instance where that should hold true for conifers, for deciduous trees, either one of them.
Fruit trees.
Yeah.
Yep.
So starting around February, March, you know, if you get a nice day out there, is a good time to start, and start small. So what are some of the rules of thumb you have when it comes to approaching a tree? You know, maybe it's never been pruned before. We're in its first year. It's been there forever. What are some of those things that you always have in the back of your mind when you're starting to look at pruning a tree?
So I always try to stick to the 1/3 rule.
Yeah.
So never prune out more than 1/3 of that canopy.
Yeah.
Which on some of those trees, they say if you got an old apple tree that's never been pruned, I mean, you just want to butcher that thing. But if you do too much, it just causes water sprouts.
Yeah.
Which is a branch that shoots up and never produces anything or does anything. It's
right.
just there.
It's unproductive.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep.
Doesn't do what you want. So, and they can also be kind of a pain to take care of because they just aren't very nice to look at.
Nope, not at all.
So about 1/3 at a time. Any other kind of rules that you have or anything that you're looking at that, you know, you want to keep in the back of your mind?
And then when you're pruning, you just don't want to leave a nub. It's really hard to describe on the radio, but you want to prune right at a node. So you're doing a flesh cut because then the tree can heal itself without the use of tar.
So let's try to explain that a little bit. So let's say you've got a branch and on the branch, you've got areas where new twigs and or leaves will come out.
Right.
Those are growth nodes. So that's the term used for that point where those other alternate growth parts come out. So that's a node. So what Chris is describing is you want to prune fairly close to that node, that place where something is coming out of the branch.
Right.
So you don't want to go right next to it. I think you usually want to give it about, I mean, a quarter of an inch is pretty good, or would you go even a half inch?
Well, sometimes you can even see what they call the branch collar.
Yeah.
So it's a real rough, rugged piece of bark right in the node. And you want to prune leaving that undamaged because
right.
that's what's going to heal, seal your wound.
I've actually been reading some, this is just kind of off topic, well, it's on topic, but I've actually been reading some about this, and some people are even, I know what it was. It was, I went to the pruning class that the University of Idaho put on, and they were actually recommending, and this was particular to fruit trees, so maybe it's a little different on ornamentals, but they were actually pruning right up to the branch. I mean, it's flush. They were not worried about the collar at all.
Really?
Yeah, they were going right into it. They were saying what they found, and it may be just kind of the cultivars that they're using and whatnot, but they were going right flush with the branch, and they were finding that it wasn't actually causing a lot of damage. Now, I think there's some definite exceptions to this. If it's a thick collar, you know, you're just making that cut bigger. And if it's a stressed tree, I really think that you should go above the collar. But I think generally you can't go wrong with going above the collar, and that's probably what I would still recommend. I don't think that I could cut into a collar.
I don't either.
It's so ingrained in me that I don't think I could do it. Like, I would try to start and just stop because it's just something that I've not... You know, I've always learned not to do it, so it's just something I can't do. The other thing that's really interesting is what I've always been taught is if you cut into that collar has a lot of stored up energy, and that's what's actually going to help callus that wound over.
Exactly.
And if you cut into it, you're actually taking that out. So it's interesting. It's just interesting to hear different the way other people are doing things. And how they're doing it, and maybe I got it wrong. I don't know. Who knows? But I think
you can't
go wrong with cutting outside the collar, cutting just pretty flush with it.
Yep.
You
don't,
but
collar.
Just not into it, and you should be in good shape. So going close to a node, going outside of the collar are both things that are very important. Let's talk about this real quick because it's another opinion thing. Do you ever recommend putting on the sprays or the paints on any of those fresh cuts?
I only do if they're unsure of their cut. So if they think they're doing it wrong or leaving a stub there that the tree can't really seal over, then I do. Other than that, no.
Yeah.
I think it takes the tree longer to heal over the tar.
Yeah. That's what I've typically found. I mean, I think there probably are places for it, like you recommend, but typically I think trees know how to deal with themselves. They know how to heal that. They don't need us to interfere. They've been doing this for a really long time, and they can only do what's best for them. So, okay, I think we're about out of time for this segment. We're going to come back in just a few minutes with one more segment here with Chris Owings. This is the Zamzos Garden Show on KBOI.
The Zamzos Garden Show will be back right here on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Hi, this is Jim Zamzo, and let me ask you a question. How does your lawn look? Well, if the answer is not so good, my second question is, have you applied your Humagreen yet? Lots of people have, and as a result have a lush green lawn that uses less water that's not growing excessively. If that's what you want, stop by any Zamzos and pick up a bag or two of Humagreen. One 50-pound bag is the equivalent of adding 2,000 pounds of compost. Plus, Humagreen also adds iron and vital trace elements, which are missing from our high desert soil, and rich dark humus that increases your lawn's water holding capacity, thereby saving you money. Now, you may be asking, if Zamzos Humagreen's that great for your lawn, and you add it to your garden or use it when planting? The answer is yes. In fact, one of our managers uses it at regular rate as a top dressing when planting new lawns. The bottom line is apply some Zamzos Humagreen now. It's guaranteed to work, or we'll give you your money back. This is Jim Zamzo, and you have my word on it. Thank you.
Nate Chelman here for AMCO. Three locations here in the Treasure Valley. Two in Boise. One on Fairview next to Winco. The other one on State Street near Veterans Memorial Parkway. And in Canyon County, Nampa, on 12th Avenue near Amity. And I got to tell you, not only do I recommend AMCO, I took my car to a dealership just to see how much money I could save. For a tune-up and other things in the car, AMCO saved me over $500. $100. Whatever is wrong with your car, the initial check is always free. That's one of the reasons the Munson family has been able to stay in business since 1968. Don't wait till you have a major repair. When you start to hear a little sound or a little vibration, your car is pulling, go to the experts at AAMCO. Not only do they do great work, but they can save you money as well. Once again, three convenient locations here in the Treasure Valley. One on Fairview next to Winco, and on State near Veterans Memorial Parkway, and in Nampa on 12th Avenue near Amity. The answer is AAMCO. That's AAMCO. AAMCO, transmissions, and a whole lot more.
It doesn't take long for a small spark to become a major wildfire. The Idaho Bureau of Land Management is preparing for the solar eclipse. Don't let a wildfire eclipse your view. You can do your part to make it a fire-safe experience by following these tips. Keep your vehicle maintained and check to make sure trailer chains are not dragging. Don't park or drive on dry grass. Drive on paved roads and park in areas clear of vegetation. Fire restrictions are in effect. Building, maintaining, or using a fire, campfire, or stove is prohibited except within a designated recreation site and only within a fire structure provided by the administrative agency. If you do have a campfire in a designated site, drown your campfire with water and make sure it's cold before leaving. Never leave a campfire unattended. No fireworks, please. They are prohibited on public lands. Wildfire safety is everyone's responsibility. We're prepared. Are you? For more information on fire restrictions and wildfire prevention, go to IdahoFireInfo.com. That's IdahoFireInfo.com.
OMG, girls, are you apprehensive about using your firearms like I was? Hello, Manly Man here for Impact Guns. I was just browsing through Google reviews to see what people are saying about Impact Guns. Kristen says, by the end of the session, I was hitting all kill shots but one with my hunting rifle and hitting all center rings with my sidearms. Note to self, don't mess with Kristen. Rigo says, if you're new to firearms, don't be afraid to let them know you don't know what you're doing. They will help you make the right choices. If I had known Impact Guns in college, I could have made better choices. It's clear to see the staff at Impact Guns wants to help you improve your skills, from matching you up to the right gun to helping you get used to it on the indoor range. At Impact Guns, you can choose from over 800 guns or rent one and try it out on the range. Google Impact Guns, 11655 West Executive between Cloverdale and 5 Mile in Boise. Your rights, your choices, your guns, Impact Guns.
I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Boll & Branch, where you can get the world's most comfortable sheets for less than half of what you'd pay in the store. Our sheets are made from 100% organic cotton and get softer over time. Even three U.S. presidents have Boll & Branch sheets. Try them for 30 nights. If you don't love them, send them back for a full refund. Go to BollAndBranch.com today for $50 off your first set of sheets, plus free shipping with promo code SLEEP, spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com. That's BollAndBranch.com, promo code SLEEP.
Model year-end closeout is going on now at Dennis Dillon RV, ddrv.com, with savings from $5,000 to $100,000 off MSRP on select models. Get into the great outdoors in a fabulous new Dennis Dillon RV with savings like never before. Giant factory incentives, unbeatable finance rates, top value for any trade. If you don't shop Dennis Dillon RV, we guarantee you just paid too much. ddrv.com on I-84 between Cole and Orchard, Boise.
Clearwater Analytics has a job opening for a reporting manager in Boise, Idaho. Automate team processes and improve workflow. Apply at hr@clearwateranalytics.com and reference job number 10228.1. Equal opportunity employer. Again, that's hr@clearwateranalytics.com. Reference job number 10228.1.
Fighting the snowflake generation one call at a time. Nate Shellman, live and local on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back for one more segment of the Zamzo's Garden Show. This is a pre-recorded episode, so we're not taking any phone calls this time, but we should be back next week with a live show. I am your host, Nolan Guthrie, and with me today is Chris Owings, the manager of our Chinden Greenhouse and store. Thanks a lot for being here with me, Chris. We're talking about trees.
Yeah, you bet.
All sorts of things dealing with trees and how to take care of them from beginning to end. So let's get into this last little bit here. We want to cover a few more things concerning pruning trees. And there's a few exceptions to our general rule. Like, we were recommending that you know, pruning in February, March is a good time to start. But there's some times where, you know, you can go ahead and prune.
Yes.
So what are some of those exceptions to the rule?
I like to call them your nuisance pruning. So every time you mow the lawn, this branch hits you in the face, or it's dropped and it's now covering up your fence, or anything that's kind of annoying you, go ahead and remove that branch at any time.
Right. Yeah, it's not going to matter. You're pruning out a small amount. It's not going to matter. It's not going to irreparably damage the tree. I've got a locust right over my driveway, which constantly, and you know, locusts are notorious for their branches just drooping. It's just what they do. I don't know why. It's just something in their DNA. But they're gorgeous trees, but they have this little thing where they just, the branches just tend to kind of droop down during the year. And so I, you know, once or twice a year, I got to go in and I got to limb all that stuff back up. And I, you know, I do it when I have to, just because it's in my way. I can't drive my car into my driveway without hitting a branch. So I'm going to go ahead and prune those out. The other thing I always prune out is anytime I see a dead branch, no matter the time of year, I'm always going to take that out.
Yep. Can't hurt it at all.
Yeah. It's already dead.
And suckers.
And suckers, yeah.
Yep.
Suckers, yeah.
Apples and things.
Water sprouts. Yeah. Yep. Those are things. Go ahead and take those out whenever. There's no restriction on when to do that, or, you know, just get it out of your way. But keep those other rules in mind. You still want to prune it to the node as best you can. You know, if it's a bigger branch, cut it up in smaller sections first. Don't take the whole thing off at once, and you'll be in a much better shape. Okay, so we've talked a lot about, you know, starting off, you know, tree, you just get it in the ground and how we take care of it, how we're going to water it, how we're going to feed it, how we're going to prune it. Once we get past that second or third year, usually the tree's pretty well established by then.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you're really going to see a lot of growth. You're going to see a lot of things happening. So the tree is finally recovered from planting. And it seems strange. It actually takes 2 to 3 years on a lot of trees for them to fully recover and actually be used to where they're at.
It can. I think it even takes a year per inch of caliper.
Well, that's an interesting statistic. I haven't heard of it that way, but it makes sense. I planted a linden about 4 years ago, I think, and this is the first year I've really noticed it just boom. You know, it's been nice up till now, but this year it is just full, just absolutely gorgeous. So it takes a number of years for it to get. Now, how are we going to change up what we do? I mean, we don't need to keep treating it the same way year after year after year. Once it's established, like, what do we do then?
Yeah, I mean, once it's established, I'm sure you've seen a house that's been repossessed or something vacant for a year, and the lawn's all dead and everything's dead, and they got great big trees and they look just fine. I mean, they can survive it without the water, without any of that. So once it starts to get established, you can cut the water way back on it.
Yeah, I would almost say no supplemental watering at all.
Yep.
I mean, for most things. I mean, unless it's like super hot, even then, just maybe one watering, you know, really deep soak.
Yeah,
and then that's
once
probably
in
plenty.
July and once in August, and maybe in a winter if we have a drought.
Sure.
Not this last winter.
But there was no way to water this last winter.
But if we go 30 days in a winter time without a ton of moisture, sometimes I do drag a hose out. But other than that, no. Once they're established.
Yeah, I think once they're established, I mean, the trees are going to be able to deal with whatever comes their way for the most part. There's very few things we have to do to make sure that they still stay healthy. There are a few things that we do recommend. But as far as like, you know, having a watering schedule for them at that point, I really don't think you need to have one.
Mm-mm.
You know, if you're watering your lawn, you're watering your landscape, there's some water getting out there. But even if that weren't there, the seasonal watering, the seasonal rains and things are really enough. And you look up in the, like the hills, those trees don't get any water during the middle of summer and they do just fine. So there's those things to consider. You don't have to do as much. We do still like to recommend some Thrive. And this is one that is probably has a different opinion. How much do you usually do Thrive on an established tree?
An established tree, I generally just still do about once a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had, you know, over the years I've recommended twice, but I've really found, you know, in talking with Jim and just my own experiences, really once is plenty. And what time of the year do you typically do it?
I do it in the fall.
In the fall.
So I put everything to bed.
Seems
like that's when it's storing.
Yeah. I think that's when you've got the most activity as in, yeah, like you said, storage. It's taking up as much as it can, trying to get it all packed into its root mass so that it can survive that winter.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the best thing because The one time I might make an exception for that is if the tree becomes severely stressed due to something else, like a bug infestation, or you start getting borers, or a massive limb failure, something like that might be a good exception to just give it a little bit of a boost. Mm-hmm. Make sure that it's got what it needs to recovery. The way I typically think of it is, like, you know, you get this kind of cataclysmic event and the tree gets stressed. Now it's using up its reserves. It's trying to recover from that, and so it's kind of draining up what it needs. And if it doesn't get enough by winter or by fall, now it's running on empty. So getting a little bit extra so that it's kind of just feeding throughout that whole time. I don't know. That's just what I've kind of done as a precautionary measure. But, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not sure if it's absolutely needed, but it's better safe than sorry.
Definitely. And it can depend on the variety of the tree, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's some definitely hardier trees out there.
Yeah, for sure. Others. Okay, so I think that about covers all those things. Let's talk about some trees that are ones that we don't recommend. I think we've had kind of like running jokes between the two of us about trees that we joke about recommending, but really would never plant. What's one of yours?
Yeah, a willow.
A willow.
Yeah. I just hate willows.
Willows, so very fast growing. I think there's a place for them. There's places where they look really nice, but
I think they're pretty. Yeah. I do. I think they're a very pretty tree.
In a backyard, though, yeah, maybe not the best idea.
They're gonna drop a lot of limbs. They're messy.
Leaves.
Short-lived.
I mean, it'll just drop leaves at the first sign of a hot day.
Yep.
You know, it's just, oh, it's gonna be hot tomorrow. I'll drop all my leaves today.
Yep. Or a branch. Just randomly drop a branch.
So here's one I'm gonna. This might be a little controversial, actually. I'm gonna recommend not planting maples. Maples are used so much, and I don't know. They just tend to have problems.
They do.
They really constantly struggle. Have. Iron deficiency, chlorosis problems. They, you know, can get aphids. They can get other things. But that iron deficiency, just they have a hard time with it. And you put so much more effort into getting it back to green. I've never really felt like the proposition is worth it to me.
No. And even driving around right now, they're just leafing out. I mean, they should be dark green.
And they're just yellow.
They're yellow and orange.
Yeah.
Right now.
All right. So what trees do we recommend planting? People have probably heard my favorite. So what's yours? I'll go last.
Well, you actually planted one of my favorites at your house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The hornbeam.
Nice.
I love hornbeams.
Yeah. You recommended that a few years. It was last year. Yeah. They're great trees. I think they have an interesting leaf shape. These were the columnar varieties, mm-hmm. so they're going to be a little more narrow, and I wanted that because I was planting near some other trees, and I wanted it to go up instead of out, and I needed that space. My favorite is going to be a linden. I just absolutely love lindens. They have a nice flower in the summer that just smells beautiful, and they don't have the chlorosis problems a lot of other trees do. Sometimes they'll get a little aphid damage, but for the most part, they're pretty bug-free.
Yeah, and the honeybees love them.
Okay, fantastic. Well, Chris, thank you very much for coming on with me. This was a great show talking about trees. Hopefully you guys got something out of this. We appreciate you coming on. This is the Zamzos Garden Show on KBOI.
Hi, this is Jim Zamzel, and if your tomatoes and peppers are not where you want them to be and are not producing fruit, you need Zamzel's Compost Tea. You see, the winter of 2017, combined with a late spring and flooding, delayed a lot of plants at least a couple of weeks. That's why we developed Zamzel's Compost Tea. It uses three of our best products, Zamzel's Thrive, Tomato Boom, and Foundation, and makes them available to your plants immediately. We put everything you need in a kit that includes a bucket and strainer, our three ingredients, and complete written instructions. All you do is add water, place in the sun, and stir. And in 3 days, your Zamzel's Compost Tea is ready to give your plants the boost they need for bigger and better yields much quicker. What's even better is that for a limited time, our Compost Tea Kit is on sale for $10 off the regular price. So come see us now, because since 1933, when it comes to helping you grow better,
nobody knows like Zamzos.
If you need an SUV but don't want to give up handling and style,
discover the Jaguar F-Pace, the first SUV from Jaguar. The F-Pace was named 2017 World Car of the Year and 2017 World Car Design of the Year. Lease the 2017 Jaguar F-Pace for $459 for 36 months and $3241 down, plus tax, title, and destination fees due at signing through September 30th. For complete details, call 1-800-621-1775 or see jaguarboise.com.
Not available in all states.
Hey, Tracy. Heard you started your own business.
Yep, a Reese and Irvy's frozen yogurt vending franchise. It's the latest revolution in healthy frozen yogurt. My robots...
Wait, your robots?
Yep, my robots deliver 7 flavors of delicious and healthy frozen yogurt to customers in high-traffic locations. And Reese and Irvy's provides everything we need to succeed.
And the robots do the work.
They work, so I don't have to.
How can I get my own robots?
Simply go to froyofranchising.com, enter promo code 1616, and submit your information. That's froyofranchising.com, promo code 1616.
We are a city full of fearless. You can see it every morning along the Greenbelt, every year at the Polar Bear Challenge, and at every big game on our famous blue turf. Because we're a city that began with a sense of freedom and never looked back. And for nearly 70 years, Regents Blue Shield of Idaho has supported that spirit, providing strength and security with the card most accepted by top doctors and specialists. Regents Blue Shield of Idaho. Live fearless.
We are 670 KBOI Boise.
A Cumulus station.
It's 12 o'clock. KBOI.